And it's quite appropriate that I've chosen this verse. It's the verse I thought about when I was thinking. Okay, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The contemporary English version says this: thank God for his gift that is to God for his indescribable gift. In the contemporary English version, it says, thanks be to God for his gift, too wonderful for words. And the context to these verses is found in chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, and Paul has encouraged the church in Corinth to take up an offering, just like we've done for the church in Syria. Very good New Testament practice, which we followed in the last couple of weeks. And people in the Christians in Jerusalem are facing poverty, and Paul has encouraged the church, and they've done it previous to this, and they've encouraged the church to take up an offering, and he's written to them before, and he's encouraging them, and now he's saying, look, we don't want you to be ashamed or embarrassed when the people come, the guys come to collect this offering. We want you to be ready for it. And he commends them for their eagerness to help, and he reminds them that those who sow sparingly will also reap sparingly, but those who sow generously will reap generously. And he's just encouraging them. And it almost seems to me that for a moment, Paul just has an aside. Because it's not in the context of what he's talking about. But as he's talking about the generosity of the people of Corinth for the people in Jerusalem, his mind goes to the generosity of God. And he says, thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for this gift, which is too wonderful for words. And as I was thinking about, you know, Paul, and thinking about how close his mind must be to the things of God, so my mind went off in a bit of a tangent. And my mind went to the things which some of the promises which God has given us, some of the scriptures which we have held on to over a number of years now, perhaps over 20 years, and my mind went to that one great scripture which we repeat time and time again in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, where it says, I know that the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and to give you a future. And you know, despite the fact that we might have quoted this verse many times, for me, it still offers us assurance. It still offers us confidence. It still offers us security, because God is in control. And I don't know where you sit today or how your heart is today, but I want you to know today that if you're a child of God, then God is in control. I love the verses which says, you know, we're held in the hollow of his hand and no one can take us from there. And there are things which happen in our life which seems to be contradictory to the things which the Bible teaches, but we have to stand secure in what we read in the Word of God. We have to have this assurance that what God says is true, and that we can believe it and we can trust him, that he has great plans for our lives. He has plans which only he knows about. Do you know, as I look back over my life, I'm doing something today I never thought I would ever do. And if I just followed my career plan as I was brought up to think about, you know, getting an apprenticeship and working in the steelworks where I was, and you know, that was my kind of thinking. That was the way I was raised. Think about having a career, you know, think about having an apprenticeship, then have a job. Then God intervened. And I found myself doing things. I found myself selling life insurance and pensions, and something I never, ever wanted to do. Then I found myself going into Bible college, something I Never wanted to do. Never, ever wanted to do. If it was ever a job I didn't want to do, I didn't want to sell life insurance, especially on commission. But I found myself doing that. It was part of the way which God led me. And then I found myself, can you believe this, leading church. And I never wanted to do that. I never, ever wanted to do that. And God had a plan, and still has a plan for my life. You know, a number of people have come to me since I stepped down from leading the church, and they've said to me, God hasn't finished with you. I've never thought God has finished with me. It's never been a thing in my mind that God has finished with me. I'm just on a different plan. I'm just on a different journey. And I'm enjoying my journey. And I'm enjoying being semi-retired. I'm enjoying just being part of the fellowship and just sitting and being ministered to. I was thrilled the other week when, you know, there was Ralph and there was Tracy and Lynn and Chris and Frank, and they got up and they spoke. I was thrilled to hear that. And I was blessed. And I thought to myself, there'll come a day, not before too long, when I won't be needed anymore because there's others here coming and rising, and that's a thrill into my life. My encouragement would be to you today, study to show yourself approved of God, workmen, rightly dividing the word of truth. Take notice of what people say to you. Take constructive criticism. One of the things Sue and I did very early on in when we were working together, we would have times when we would talk about Sunday. And if I said something which Sue didn't think was appropriate, she would tell me. And it wasn't always easy to take that, but I listened. Because it was a voice speaking. And I know that her concern would be that I would be the best I could be. And so if somebody says to you, look, you know, perhaps if you did this, or if you said that, or if you approached this this way, don't get huffy about it. Say thank you. Because we want the best for you. We want you to excel in everything that you do. And God has a plan. And I'm sure, and I still believe it in my heart, that God has great plans for our fellowship. I still believe it. And God has plans for our lives as individuals and for us as a corporate body. His plans to prosper us. Plans to give us a hope and to give us a future. It's amazing. It's amazing what God has done for us. It's amazing what God is going to do for us. And we just need to keep our eyes focused on him. The old hymn says this: God holds the key of the all unknown, and I am glad. If others should hold the key, or if he trusted it to me, I might be sad. And you know, it's a good job. It's a good thing that we don't know what tomorrow holds. It is. It is. But we know who holds tomorrow. It's a good thing that we don't know what is going to happen in 2020. But it's good to know that he knows. And as the time comes, he will just show us the way to go forward. So that was the first thing which I sort of thought about in my little aside. And then the second thing is this great verse in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And it says this: and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. In all things, God works for the good of those that love him. And you have had experiences in your life, and I have had experiences in my life, when you think, why? Why has that happened to me? And sometimes we just don't understand why things happen to us. Why? On May the 22nd, as I stepped up off the road onto a pavement, did my quad muscle just give way? I don't know. I don't know. Why? I don't know. But I believe so much in this verse. And you know, as I've thought about this, I've had three opportunities to say to the consultant that we've prayed for a miracle. And I believe that God has used him to be part of the miracle. I've never have had that opportunity. A very painful way to be able to tell him that. Very inconvenient way to be able to tell him that. But in all things, in all things, not in just some things, in all things, God works for the good. Hear that? He works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Do you love him? Do you love him this morning? Do you love him more than anything else? A picture in John 21 comes into my mind where Jesus says to Peter, Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these? And Peter was offended. Peter was upset because Jesus asked him three times. How many times would Jesus have to ask us today, do you love me more than anything else? Do you love me more than anything else? You see, he loves us more than anything else. That's why he gave us the gift. That's why he was prepared to send his one and only son into the world to die for us. And sometimes other things take priority and precedence over our love for God. But his love for us never falters. His love for us never fails. You might say, well, you know, all things work together for good. And you might say, well, it doesn't seem that way. Well, I want to say to you today, hold on, stand firm, keep focused, be strong, be bold, keep the faith, keep trusting and believing. He has promised it, and he who promised is faithful. Great thing about being able to look back over one's life and you see the hand of God. And at the time when you go through things, you wonder why those things have happened. Or you don't quite understand. And sometimes we've just got to dig in and we've just got to say, God, we know you're faithful. God, we know you're true. God, we know you're righteous. God, we know you're just. We know that in all things you work for the good of those who love you, and we love you. And we've just had to stand firm and walk forward, knowing that God will work out his great purpose for our lives. And then when you come to a period in your life and you look back and you see, and that started then. And we didn't understand that then, but God has done this. And God has done that. And look what we have learned. Look how much we've grown. Look how much we've matured. Look how much we've learned to depend upon him. Things might not turn out the way we want them to turn out. And sometimes we can be disappointed by that. But I want to say to you this morning, don't be disappointed. Learn to realign your thinking. Learn to bring your expectations into line with the Word of God, because God is working for the good of those who love him. And then thirdly, the third promise which came into my mind, or the third thought which came into my mind, was the great promise that God gave us over 25 years ago. We were stood in what is now City Church offices in Freeman Street. There was Sue and myself, and there was Fred and Pat, and Lynn was there, and some other leaders, and we were having a leaders' prayer meeting, and we were praying for each other, the leaderships of various churches, and we were just getting the leaders to stand in the middle of a circle, and we were praying over each other, praying for the blessing of God that makes rich and adds no sorrow. And as we stood in the middle of this circle, so Dennis Brown from what used to be New Life Cleethorpes is now King's Baptist Church. He spoke a word over our lives, and he said, I believe God is saying to you that he's going to open a door that no man can shut. And immediately I just sensed that that word was of God for us. And into my spirit came this realization that God is going to open a door for us that no man can shut. And our experience has been, from that time to now, that God has opened doors for us which no man can shut. God has spoken into our hearts. We never prayed about buying houses. We never prayed about having your place. we moved in the anointing. We moved in the direction which we believe God was pointing us into. And when God spoke to us, we went in obedience to it. And we said, if this is of God, then it'll work out. But if it's not of God, then it won't work out. But when God spoke to me about buying a house in 1999, you know, there were no houses for sale that week. And we prayed about it in our prayer meeting that Sunday. And the following week, there were 3 houses for sale. I remember it as if it was yesterday. And we went out, Sue and I, that week. And we looked at 3 houses. And we bought our first house in Wealesby Street for £13,500. And we still got it. And God has opened the door for us. And God has blessed us. And God has led us. And then we had your place. And then we bought another house. And then we had the garden. And then we got this place. And then we had the charity shop. And all that just came into place. Then we bought across the road. God led us. God led us. And even in this past month, God has been coming and bringing people to us. Were giving us money and giving us for your place and giving us items to sell in goodbyes. God said to us, I will open a door that no man can shut. People have come, sorry, I want to take that back. People have come into your place and goodbyes and the church over the years, some of whom have been desperate and they have been welcomed and loved and helped. Some of them have been prayed for. Some have come to faith in Jesus. And although they might not be sat here this morning, God opened a great door of opportunity for them and for us. And we have seen God at work. And one of the challenges for us is that we haven't grown numerically. But that doesn't mean to say that God hasn't been working. We're kingdom people. We're kingdom people. And we have seen the kingdom being extended. If you become discouraged or think that things are getting tough or nothing is happening, take a walk in Oasis Garden. Stop and think what this building was like when we took it over in 2003. How many of you were here then? Not that many. But you remember it. Just this past week, Chris and I were talking with some people who want to give money to your place and want to help out in your place. Isn't that amazing? And we were talking about the pigeon loft we have here and the amount of pigeons we had. Think of the state of the property across the road before it was refurbished and turned into the beautiful dwellings. I will open a door for you, said God, which no man can shut. And I believe that promise is still for us today. I believe that God is a God of his word. He is not a man that he should lie. That God has great plans for us. So I want to remind us today that God knows the plans he has for us. He's working for our good. He opens doors which no one can shut. And as Paul's mind wanders and he thinks about God's indescribable gift, his gift too wonderful for words, he responds in the open, only way which he feels he can respond. And he says, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. And we need to catch that in our hearts. We need to catch that in our vocabulary. We need to catch that in our spirit. That no matter what we're going through, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who leads us in triumph. In Romans 8 and verse 17, he thanks God for the transformation that he's seen in the lives of the believers in Rome. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you've come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. Thanks be to God when we see men and women's lives being changed with the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15, oops, wrong one. Oh, dear me. Can I get back? Yes, I can. Thank goodness. 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, he thanks God for the victory we have in Christ Jesus. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes in Romans 8, he says that we are not just conquerors. We're not just conquerors. We're more. We're more than conquerors. Quite recently, Sue was talking about God's extravagance, the superabundance of God. He doesn't make us conquerors. He makes us more than conquerors. He makes us victorious. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 2:14, he is thankful for God's leading in our lives. And he says, thanks be to God who leads us in triumphal procession. You know, church, today we are led by a great captain. We are led by Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the great and he is the mighty one. In Philippians 1 and verse 3, Paul writes these words, I thank my God every time I remember you. Here's a man, thanksgiving oozed from his life. Thanksgiving oozed from his lips. Sometimes we can forget ourselves. Sometimes when things are not quite as we want them to be, we can become grumblers and moaners. Sometimes, you know, we can just see the negative of stuff. But our God reigns supreme. And because he reigns supreme, we can actually be thankful because he knows the plans he has for us. Because all things work together for good for those who love God. Because he knows the plans he has, because he has opened a door for us which no man can shut. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says there, and he exhorts the believers, follow my example, even as I follow Christ's. And I want to encourage you today, let's follow Paul's example. Let's be men and women who are thankful. Let's be men and women who have gratitude in our hearts. Let's be men and women who remember the promises that God has placed into our lives. Let's remember that if he is for us, then who can be against us? Let's remember this morning that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Let's remember today, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginner and he is the finisher of our faith. And let us be determined, with the writer to the Hebrews, to look to Jesus, to look to Jesus. And to keep our eyes focused upon him. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for his gift, which is too wonderful for words. Thanks be to God for the way he's blessed us and led us. Father, we want to say thank you today for your great, great greatness to us. I want to say thank you today because you're a faithful God. I want to say thank you today because things haven't always worked out the way that we would want them to. Lord, sometimes we would like things to be different, but we thank you because you have a plan for our lives. And that everything works for the good to those that love you, who are called according to your purpose. We thank you for the great prophetic word which you put into our hearts and is still active in our lives in these days, that you've opened a door for us which no man can shut. Thank you for the influence, Lord, that you've given us both in this area, in the town and in Africa and wider places than that. Thank you because you just open doors and you're a faithful God. And we want to pray today that you would help us to be a people of thankfulness and of gratitude, remembering your love and your goodness and your grace to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless.